Our gospel lesson comes from the book of Matthew, from chapter 2. Hear the word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring word to me, so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that had stopped at its rising, until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. They entered the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Subterfuge and homage. Violence and worship. Joy and fear. Contrasting reactions to the birth in the manger. On the one hand, priestly figures from the east, Gentiles who study the stars. They observe an astrological event in the heavens announcing the birth of a Redeemer. They bring him gifts and offer their reverence. In contrast, in the halls of power, Herod, this puppet vassal king of Rome, while claiming that he too wants to honor this Messiah, is in reality filled with fear. Fear of what? Fear of insurrection, of being supplanted, fear of losing his power and his wealth. And so he schemes to destroy this Christ child. Have any of you lately noticed the Christ child star in its rising? Has its flame led you away from what you've known, from what you have expected, from what has been safe and secure in your life? The night sky of my youth was brilliant. I come from this deeply rural part of the state, over an hour from anything that could be called a city. When I looked up at the stars at night, they dazzled with light. You could trace the Milky Way from one horizon all the way to the next. That glow of countless stars illuminating a path across the night sky. Not so much here anymore. I looked out on a clear night earlier this week from my back porch in Weaverville. Light pollution makes it so you really only see just a patch of the most striking stars. They dot the sky here and there, but they hardly fill it. Perhaps it's been that way for you in your life. Have recent years dimmed the light pointing to redemption, pointing to wonder, to God's holy mystery? So I had a few days off this week, and I had grandparents at home. Well, my son's grandparents, my parents, there to watch Joseph. So I had time to actually sit down and read the newspaper. I spent some time with the New York Times editorial page. On that page, Russ Douthat told me that we had just lived through the decade of disillusionment. Paul Krugman advised me that apocalypse has become the new normal. Gail Collins asked me if I've already had enough of Trump 2020. I did see Nicholas Kristof's line that this has been the best year ever, but by that time I was so sad I didn't want to read anymore. How are you feeling now at the beginning of a new decade? In 2020, it's going to be easy to be pessimistic, if not outright cynical. The year begins with a climate crisis just staring us in our face. Fires swarm across the continent and country of Australia. In the coming months, we are surely going to see the most divisive and vicious and negative campaign and election of my generation. Violence against the most vulnerable in our country is on the rise exponentially. And in just the last few days, hawks are beating the drum of war again in the Middle East. Is there a star left guiding you to the manger? Or frankly, are we all just left with a bunch of Herods? But of course, Scripture does give us a more complex picture. It's not just one or the other when it comes to Matthew. Herod and the Magi, rather, appear together, their stories intertwine. A light shines in the darkness. Light within darkness. Darkness within light. Yoli Greenfield hovers behind a table on a cold New Jersey evening, wearing the thick black coat and the hat of his Hasidic community. Standing next to his rabbi, he lights first the center and then the candle farthest to the side, marking the first day of Hanukkah. He's surrounded by members of his community, mostly men, but a few children as well. In the distance, a New Jersey police officer stands solemnly, his hands clasped reverently to his side. In the picture, there's no smiles. Everyone is solemn and determined and reverent as the lights from the menorah brighten their faces on the dark street. This evening and this place hold tragic significance for Mr. Greenfield and his community. 2 weeks earlier, in the middle of last month, his sister Mindy was shot and killed along with three others in a hate-filled rampage at right there on that spot where she owned this kosher supermarket. The Talmud teaches Jews that they are to light the menorah and place it either outside or in a window as a way of witnessing to God's love and God's fidelity. However, they are exempt from that if there is imminent danger, such as times of persecution. In a recent Washington Post editorial, another rabbi asks if Jews in America are living in such a time of danger today. Just last week, only a few days after that cold celebration in New Jersey, a man broke into another Jewish home in New York, while its inhabitants were celebrating Hanukkah. He wounded 5 worshipers with a machete. And nationally, anti-Semitic attacks are on the rise. Charleston, Poway, Pittsburgh, now Jersey City and upstate New York, those are just a few of the most well-known sites along a string of attacks on our Jewish brothers and sisters in recent years. However, in that Washington Post editorial, the one that asks if Jews should hide the menorah during this time of violence, the rabbi, she says, no. Now is not the time to put away the lights of the faith, the lights that proclaim God's faithfulness. She says, when we blaze brightly and bravely in this world, we publicize the miracle that has happened and fight to bring one yet to come. We show that we can stand together against hate with everyone who's feeling afraid right now. We help warm a world that might be feeling cold. We must all shine out together, big and bright. And so they have. And so they do. Today, in fact, right at this very moment, on the streets of New York, Jews and Gentiles alike are marching in solidarity against the rhetoric and acts of hate. A light shines in the darkness. Light within darkness. Darkness within light. You may have missed it, but last week, Asheville made the national news when a mural at Static Age Records, just a mile down the road from this church, on Lexington Avenue downtown, it was defaced on Christmas Eve. Someone destroyed a beautiful rendering of a young Tina Turner, painted in blue and yellow and black paint on the garage storefront. Someone tagged that mural with an 8-foot-long swastika done in purple spray paint. It wasn't just an act of vandalism, it was a hateful act, directed at a beautiful artist of color. The store made a GoFundMe page to raise money for a new mural. On that page, the owners declared that their store is a widely inclusive outlet for artistic expression that will not tolerate hate in any form. That GoFundMe page raised over $2,000, with the extra money going to the Southern Poverty Law Center. A light shines in the darkness. Light within darkness. Darkness within light. Lastly, as I just said in announcements, just a few hours from now, we will celebrate the life and the witness to the resurrection of Alice Schmitz, longtime member of this congregation. Alice was a person of great faith. She worked tirelessly, often unacknowledged and behind the scenes for this church and for the people of this church. Those who knew her well in those last years know that Alice often spoke candidly and without trepidation about death and about God. Once while I was visiting her at the Baptist home, I told her about the death of someone that she knew well. Someone who, like Alice herself, had felt the pain of aging and loss and dementia. And Alice, she didn't even pretend to put on a sad face. She smiled when I told her the news. And not in a macabre or an ironic way, but rather with sincerity and hope, she said, "Good for her." "Yes," she said, "it's always sad to see someone you love die, but good for her." You see, Alice set her eyes on God in her final years. Not that she wanted to leave prematurely or anything like that. It was more like she knew where she was heading. And she had this trust in a way that I have rarely seen before, that God would be with her in life and then through death, that God would walk with her to the other side of life. That trust radiated out from Alice. I saw it every time I visited her. It was in her smile, in her greeting, in the warmth of her hand when we prayed together. Siblings in Christ, the light that illuminated the path to the manger and that sowed fear in the violent heart of Herod, that light is in you and me and is everywhere around us. Body of Christ, it is not up in the sky waiting to be discovered. It burns already, and it shines out of us. It shines when siblings of different faiths join hands together against a hate that threatens to divide us. It shines out when we step out into the unknown, believing in the hope of the manger, even when the more reasonable thing, or the more realistic thing, or the prevalent sophisticated attitude is pessimism and cynicism and despair in the face of a new year. Friends, Grace Covenant has never been a place where we ignore what is happening outside of these walls, or in our lives, in our community, and our world. It is a place where we face hard truths together. We do not leave our hardships at that door, nor can we ignore the troubles and the pain happening in this world. We bring our lives and our cares and our fears right here into worship. We bring our passion for justice and for righteousness, because we trust in a God who walks with us, the God who walks with the broken, the weak, and the marginalized, the God who walks with us into the unknown, even when we don't know what's on the other side. That God was a flame that lit the way to the manger. Trust that that flame burns within you, in us, and out into our community and our world, now and in the years to come. A light shines in the darkness. Amen.